Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better. Hey guys, it's MI Ice Guys, and we're live from Ice Camp. We're doing Rage in the Cage this weekend, so we're remote up here in the Northwoods, well, North. And a special guest in this segment, we've got Captain Myron Gilbert of infamy of the Iceman TV show. He's captain out on Lake Erie. He's a captain out on Lake Michigan. Whether you want walleye or salmon, you call Uncle Myron. He takes you fishing. And he has been named our team captain this year for USA Ice. Myron, we got out on the ice a little bit today. How was it?
Well, it was cold out there, just what we'd expect for winter. Sure looking forward to representing the United States here. This is my first year as captain leading the team. 8 years I fished on the team. But now I'm kind of stepping aside a little bit for the younger guys here. And we got a bunch of young Tigers. We're up on a practice episode here. We're putting them through training exercises this weekend. We got a bunch of people in town here. We got some really fine fishermen. You know, we got a lot of really good ones from Michigan here. And so we're going to get out and do a little practicing, a little competition, and doing some training for some of the new guys to come along and see how this is scored or you know, some of the strategies and everything involved for this world style competition. So we'll see what happens here. We got a bunch of guys that we got some real experienced guys, and we got some not so experienced. So I think it'll be a real good mix, and it'll be a real learning experience for everybody.
Well, now this is like our third year that we've gotten the group together, and last year our good buddy Anthony, he came along and he said, hey, we need to really style this up and change it up a little bit and focus it on palm rods. And last year we had some kids come out of the woods that
put
a little shake on our boys, didn't they?
Yeah, well, we had a couple names. We're not going to drop any names here, Pre, but there was a couple that did a pretty nice job that was kind of surprised everybody, you know. So we got some pretty good fishermen in Michigan here. It ain't just all the guys that have qualified for the team here. It's not by accident Michigan produces so many high-caliber fishermen, you know.
Well, and the percentage of our team, now, at least as long as I've been involved, we're pretty stout on Michigan. And, you know, they call us the Great Lakes State for a good reason, you know, that the Minnesota boys that are on our team, jokingly I tell them they count the ponds too. 10,000 lakes, what's that, three of our counties or like that? But anyway, we've got a lot of great water. We've got deep lakes. We've got shallow lakes. We've got so much fish territory.
Match whatever you want to fish for.
Oh, basically, we can do anything here, whether you're out on the big lakes in the summer with you or here in the winter when we just stalk the little buggers through the ice. We got some stuff, and we've got some rock stars coming up, and that's part of our thing, is a little bit of training for these guys and entice them into the game for the next generation. As you mentioned, you know, you're kind of taking a mature role of being a mentor this time coming through, and there's rumors, we won't mention his name yet, but one of the legends of ice fishing in the state is we're teasing him right now, right, to see if he'll come help us.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And we're going to see him out on the ice with us tomorrow. We're up here north of Grand Rapids. We're going to hit some ice tomorrow. We're going to do a little challenge. We're going to do some runs. We're going to set out a zone, because we've talked on the MI Ice Guys a number of times. We fish in the worlds in a zone. You're in a confined area. You got rules about how far you're apart. Now, Uncle Myron, you always tell me, you know, that, hey, that's easy. That's 2 2-by-4s.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, it's a chess game, too. A lot of the strategies involved in world competition are quite a bit different than, like, our tours, you know, or competitions we have American style. American style, we're allowed graphs. You can fish the whole lake. Here, we're only putting anglers into an area about the size of a football field. Let's see who can scratch out the most amount of fish in that area. Sometimes there's a lot of fish in that area. Sometimes not. And sometimes just a couple. You can do real, you know, it's who can catch the most fish in that area
in a short amount of time.
And get the job done. And then, you know, the strategies too is you got two flags. So you got a place you can save and another one you can fish. So you move your flags around, like your holes around, like a chess game, and try, you know, some of the strategy is screwing the other guy. You know what I mean? It's a pretty favorite tactic of fishing.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
But I mean, just like when you're out on the big lake.
Absolutely.
And you're,
you know, cut them off and get there first. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of strategy involved in this style of ice fishing. It's very surprising. You know, sometimes we're fishing for smaller fish. We selected the lake that we're going to tomorrow. not because of the size, you know, big fish, but we want a lot of fish to have these guys, you know, challenged on catching a lot of fish. Because overseas, that's a lot of times we're on bodies of water where you catch large amounts of fish, so you have to be very efficient in catching them.
Well, a lot of times I explain it as the fact that we go out and we're going to challenge people. A small fish barely licks that hook, and if you can hook that, you're a damn good fisherman. Anybody can set a hook on a big old monster fish that just wallops that bait.
Oh, yeah.
But the finesse and the delicacy of being able to tickle these little tiny fish out. And that's why these world challenge. A lot of our listeners don't always understand. They ask me over and over again, why do you catch all these little fish? What do you hunting bait for? Because it's hard.
Well, it's a challenge overseas because that's how we have to match up. So in our practice, in our competitions, we try to match up as close as we can to conditions we're going to be faced with overseas. Being overseas and competing 8 years in a row, I've seen a lot of, you know, Europeans, I tell you what, I got to take my hat off of them. They fish with a lot of simple stuff, but they are fantastic fishermen and they learn quick. And let me tell you, if you could go over and medal in their territory, you are doing something really good. That's my goal in life here. I've fished all over, and, you know, I got a gold medal, but I tell you what, I want to win one on their turf. I'm driven to do that.
You know, I get asked the question all the time, why is this never in the U.S.? Well, actually, it's been here twice, right? The first year,
we win.
We caught them off guard a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah, well, then they got respect and a little too much. We got a little too cocky. I seen a lot, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. But we should have won again. It's just we were too cocky. We didn't adjust properly. That would happen again. It wouldn't happen again.
Oh, no. Now, We've matured.
You know, we've been through a bunch of these cycles here. Now I'm not going to get surprised like that.
No, ever. Because they figured out how we were doing it.
Oh,
they adapted
boy.
Quickly.
Oh, and then they ganged up on us, too, you know.
Yeah.
So you see them all surround you and gang up on you. You find out how hard it is in a confined area to get away from them when they won't let you.
Yeah, and in a short 3 years, they came back and
schooled us on our own ice.
On
strategy. That's, you know, I take my hat off to them. They've taught me a lot.
Yeah, it's really a thing. And for those of you that haven't watched it out on Facebook and the videos that are out there on USA's team, even the ones that I post up there on MI Ice Guys, to see the class and the dedication of these fishermen overseas, I mean, you know, it's life goals for them. This is a huge part of their life to do it, as it is ours, but man, are they good at it.
They are good at it. You know, when you look at some of the other teams, like, you know, the standard of excellence is the Ukrainian,
yeah,
the Russians, the Latvians. The Ukrainians have been by far the most successful here in the last few years, but before that it was the Russians dominating for a while. And now right now it's the Ukrainians, but we have a bunch of other good teams, the Estonians. And a lot of teams have been changing a little bit and really adjusting.
Well, that Latvian team last year.
All the internet and everything, you don't think these are backwood hicks you're tangling with anymore,
yeah,
over there.
YouTube goes everywhere.
Yes, it's worldwide, baby. Boy,
we got to talk to our buddy Anthony,
yeah,
about what he's posting,
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, I tell you, they're well-versed in all this electronic. They've been showing, you know, schooling us some here a little bit. We invented the stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's going to be just so much of a riot out there tomorrow. It's going to be fast-paced. We're talking about some fastest 25s. We're going to talk about fastest, how many fish you can catch in 20 minutes or,
yeah,
whatever.
Or an hour. We'll probably do a couple hour heats. We're going to do several different heats, and we're going to put them through different paces on different parts of the lake and see what they can do, see how they flow to the fish.
Yeah.
Because in these zones, everybody goes out kind of blind, and then when somebody starts catching them, you got to get over there. You know, you get a neighborhood where there's a lot of fish, you know.
Five meters.
They got to be 16 feet 4 inches away from the other guy.
Yeah.
So you got that to contend with, plus two flags. So if the guy gets two flags down, he's got a bug hard area, and in a corner, you can't get in, you know. So
for those of you guys listening at home, what I want you to do is I want you to get a piece of string 16 foot 4 inches long. That's 5 meters. And I want you to set out two flags in the yard and just walk around one of them with a big loop and figure out that's how far away you have to stay from everybody else. Now imagine that in a corner.
And doing it on the fly when you got to rush in there real quick and get yourself positioned in seconds before you get, you know.
It is a big game.
It's, oh boy, you'll see people run. Old fat people start running that all of a sudden.
Well, and not all the teams bring old fat people either.
No.
That little Spider-Man.
Well, we got some rock stars that can run like deer all that. That's why I'm coaching now here. I got me some young stallions. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm going to help you find those young stallions and get it going. And I think we're going to have a segment where we're going to talk to a hopeful. We've got a young feller that's going to fish with us tomorrow. And now for the old guys, if they do real good tomorrow, I'm going to break out some beer on the ice. And we're going to do a little grilling and everything. This is a fun thing. And for those of you that are interested, check us out on Facebook. We're going to have another one of these before we go off to Kazakhstan this year. And if you want to learn palm rods, you want to party with the best and get out on the ice and learn, it's going to be a really super cool event. So we're looking forward to tomorrow. And it's just been awesome talking with you, Myron. Stick around for just a minute. I got some other questions to ask about some Michigan fishing.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hey, remember to stop on out to miiceguys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at miiceguys.com.
Hey, it's Chaz from the MI Ice Guys, and we're live at Ice Camp. We've got some of the greatest fishermen in the state. Specifically, a lot of guys that have interest in our world, usaice.org. You can follow us out there on Facebook or on the internet and stuff. But I want to talk to one of our favorites, our new captain of USA Ice, Myron Gilbert. He's you've heard him on the show before. He's a charter fishing captain, a pretty good deer hunter. He's a great grandfather because his granddaughter is also a champion at whipping people's butt ice fishing right here in Michigan. So, Myron, I got a couple of questions for you. Now, as you've been mentoring, your son, he's competitive.
He's a national champion, too.
Yeah. Got a ring, yeah. You know, you guys know about Super Bowl rings, you know. You look at Uncle Myron's hand, and there's this big old gold ring on there. Some days he wears both of them. His son's got one. His granddaughter, what is she now, 15?
14.
She's on her way.
Coming along good. She's a champion in her own right on winning the crappie deal on Whompers Lake. A pretty good bunch of pretty good fishermen there.
Yeah, Whompers competition ain't no shabby deal.
No.
But, you know, you've been mentoring fishermen for a long time. I know you've had to raise a couple of partners.
Oh, yes, I have.
And then you've got your boy and now the granddaughter. I want you to give a little bit of advice to the dads and the granddads out there about how do you engage the kid and bring them in?
Well, it's like anything else, you know, spending time with them, you know, telling stories and getting them interested in doing the outside thing. Not on their phone constantly, but the phone's part of the background anymore, you know. But that's a great aid for incorporating that, you know, keeping their interest up, you know, taking pictures, looking at GPS on the phone.
Yeah, we just fixed your Navionics tonight.
We just fixed mine up this afternoon. And then, of course, you know, you're just keeping them interested in doing it. And you don't want to marathon do anything with them. You want to keep their interest up. And another thing that I have found by using electronics is to make them successful. Because the younger generation accept this electronics so much better than we did. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable how quick they grasp things. You know, they're showing me stuff like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. You know, these little kids here, you know, oh my goodness, my granddaughter, you know, keeping me straightened out electronically is amazing. You know, using all the tools and keeping them interested, that's an aid, you know. Like, we got cameras these days too, so that you can pull a little camera out and they can see the fish down there and see what's going on under the ice. You know, it ain't just a fairy tale now. All of a sudden, oh gosh, there's some crappies. Oh, there's some bluegills, whatever, perch. Or I see some fish on my graph. Let's see what they are, you know. And by doing that, it keeps their interest up. And you keep them warm in an ice fishing environment, too. You don't go out there and, you know, make them get all cold and wet so they hate it the rest of their lives. You don't want to do that. You want to, it's like training a dog. You want to set them up to succeed. If you set them up with success, then things go a whole lot better. For you included, you know, training them. So that's kind of my outlook on doing it.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, your son having a national championship, granddaughter whipping on whompers, that you've got a resume of success on that stuff. You know, we're also have been talking about doing, we've been doing some mentoring with some of the younger fishermen that we're trying to, you know, you and I are both older guys.
Hey, old graybeards now, you know. It's
and we've got to train up that next generation to represent the U.S. And we've both taken, I take a technology role.
Well, I appreciate
role.
You too. Oh man!
And now you've stepped up to captain of the team to be the big grand mentor of
the hammer.
The hammer of the whole pack of the guys. It's just a huge thing to pass on this tradition of ice fishing. I know I learned from my grandfathers, and some of the things I learned from my grandfather, they don't apply, but some of the basics. And I know that you've got stories about when you were just a
I was just a little shaver, you know. We went out and spotted a hole and fished, and we, you know, in our knowledge of look, we looked in the water. You know, sight fishing is where I learned a lot because we didn't have graphs.
The eggshells?
Hey, we've seen that so you can see down better. You know, and my first ice fishing pole was one of them poles that had two nails and you wrapped the line around, you know. And the line went like a Z down into the hole because it had been around them two nails for a long time.
All summer,
and we didn't get new line and new stuff all the time. We always had what we had was a depth finder. It was an old piece of lead or something. You fish 6 inches off the bottom, you know, or to a foot. That you didn't fish up in the water column or none of that. You fish 6 inches to a foot off bottom. That was no, you didn't do any different. Now with today's electronics, you realize fish are all over in the water column a lot. And it's amazing how we find a lot of them deep water fish up in the water column a lot more now, especially with today's electronics.
I think it's been a huge thing. And, you know I'm involved with the MI Ice Guys. Steph and I, we take Cub Scouts out. We take other kids' groups out. And I know you're involved in a lot of the kids' camps out at NIFC and all that kind of stuff. It is just such, I feel now it's a privilege to be able to pass along our path.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest traditions in the state of Michigan of walking out on that crisp, crackly, quiet, beautiful white ice and just smiling at the world, sitting there in peace with a hole in the ice, bringing up.
Yeah, well, that's the best thing about this ice fishing thing, because I guide for walleyes in the summer, I guide for salmon. The winter fishing is like for eating, you know. You go catch panfish, it's just about universal. You're going to catch crappies and bluegills and perch for table fare, because they're not monster fish. And part of the pure enjoyment of catching them is eating them also, because, you know, fish are great food. We did a Michigan Outdoors clip with Jenny Olson in Michigan. Well, there's many restaurants that's perfectly legal to take your catch in there, and they prepare them and feed them to you.
It's like a captain's class.
Right, exactly right. Our charter association did that in conjunction with the state as a pure Michigan promotion. And so now you can take your fish in almost any restaurant that'll do it, and it's perfectly legal. You know, cook them for you, and which we've done that at numerous restaurants, and it's a great thing. You know, it's $6, $7, $8 a plate for all the French fries, onion rings, coleslaw, stuff that goes with it. But you get to go take your fish in that you just caught. They're not going to get any fresh, and have them prepared for it. And that's a really good thing. We really enjoy doing that.
Now, Uncle Myron, I have to ask you the fat man's question. The most beautiful way to prepare panfish.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I like them myself filleted, and I kind of like frying magic, you know, and either pan fry them or deep fry them. You know, that's my preferred, but we just got done having some with a batter on them, with a beer batter. Sometimes we cook them on the grill. Sometimes with hot sauce, sometimes with barbecue sauce, sometimes with butter and onions. I haven't had a bad
one. No, I haven't either. And,
look at us.
You know, we carry a resume.
We just got done finishing some off there about a half hour ago.
Yeah, our buddy Steph upstairs, he cooked us up. He got his old fry daddy out.
And yeah, fine job.
Did a fine job. Fed us all after a day of walking around on the ice, enjoying Michigan the way that all sportsmen should. Now, Myron, I'm going to challenge you that before we speak again, I need you to write me up a nice original Myron Gilbert recipe.
I can do
to
that.
To do that, because we publish recipes out here on MIIceGuys.com. And we really, you know, we catch so many fish that you got to shake it up a little. You got to mix it up. And, you know, you should check out the recipes that we have online and stuff. Now, Myron, also, I've got to ask you the question, because I get asked this question at every seminar. You get it asked as well. It's 2017. It's a modern, modern world. New things are coming out every year. What is your favorite new thing that you've seen in the last 3-4 months that you think is really good idea for ice?
Oh my gosh, all the electronics. I can't even possibly up with all this stuff. They got something called a pan optics now that, you know, goes to the sides. And oh my gosh, the electronics is expanding so fast. It's unbelievable, you know. Heck, it's already old technology for some people, and I ain't even familiar with it, you know. But it still boils down who can catch the most fish in a prescribed amount of time. Electronics ain't the cool answer, you know, especially in world competition. They're not allowed. So it's a pure fishing deal there.
Well, we spent a little time this afternoon when we were working along, and we were checking out the lake that we're going to hold our little challenge on. And we were on the palm rods. Now, guys have heard us talk about the palm rod. And we were banging fish. What were we? 15, 30 seconds apart fish.
Yeah,
and we're hooking them. And we actually got some ones that you'd put a knife to.
Yep.
A lot of people, when we talk about the palm rods and they see all the stuff we're catching overseas, that it's really small. They're like, why do you waste an angle rod? And I think you'll agree with me. It's the finesse. And I've said it time and time again. When the fish could bite, it's not that they're not hungry. They got picky.
They got fussy. A lot of times you drop down in size and you get very fussy. You catch pretty big fish on pretty little stuff. And I tell you, the Europeans will show you that if you fish against them. You think that little pole they're using is a detriment. Well, let me tell you, they catch a lot of pretty big fish. You know, and they will show you in competition if you think that they don't have a chance. You'll be finding out pretty quick that that's not.
It's like a tiny little knife. You can just
be quick
with that. Hey, Myron, I want to thank you so much for giving some advice to the listeners. I know that the guys, they ask me all the time, do you know Myron? I'm like, yeah, I know Myron. I've stirred drinks with a palm rod with him in Finland.
And we will again.
And we're fishing this weekend together and having a great time. You're off to Metegoshi next week.
Next week, I'm going to leave just on New Year's Day. In fact, just informed the girl that I was leaving. Boy, I didn't impress her very much. You know, I mean it.
Well, at least you weren't buying the new trailer.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But, you're off on the NAIFC tournament. For those of you that don't know that, that's the national U.S. tournament here. And if you go to NAIFC.com, you'll see how Myron and the guys are all, you know, out there, and they're competing hard here around the States. And really, they're shopping. I think Myron's out there shopping for our next world member, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we're going to see what we can do here. You know?
Well, keep your eye on them.
Well,
Myron.
I'm a captain now, and I'm watching all my guys coming up here, so we're going to see what we can do.
Well, that's great. Well, we're the MIIs guys, and we're going to come back and talk to some more of the guys from Ice Camp. And thank you. And guys, remember, we have the ice map out there on MIIsguys.com. where you can submit the thickness of ice so that granddads like Myron know where they can take their granddaughters and drive out and find good, reliable ice to take those kids out and teach them the passion that we all have for ice fishing. We're the MI Ice Guys. We'll be right back.
Guys, what a great clip from Uncle Myron. We were having so much fun up there at camp, and his wisdom is way out there past a lot of ours. He's fished so many different tournaments, so many different styles. He fishes almost year-round. There's a short little gap in the fall when he goes hunting, and a little gap in the spring when he's got to do some yard work before he gets that walleye boat in. So we're going to continue on now when we come back with some more interviews, including one from a young fisherman from Wisconsin. Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best.
Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one. And my choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Cheese, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoes. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe.
Hey, guys, it's the MI Ice Guys, and we are recording live at Ice Camp. You can tell we're downstairs because you can hear the plumbing running. Somebody's up there recycling some beer. We're in Steph's basement up here in Howard City. We call it hunting camp. We call it ice camp. We live hunting and fishing up here, and we're all about the greatest sports here in the Midwest. We are up here to do some practice for the worlds, and also we use a little bit of scouting to see who the up-and-comers are, and we invite a lot of guys up here, and if you think you got the whiz to play with us, you should get in contact with us, and we'll give you more details on how you can come out and join us and fish. We're going to have a great time. Now, I have a special guest in this segment. Sam, Sam, tell us your full name, where you're from.
I'm Sam Walters. I'm from Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
How old are you, Sam?
14.
14. All right, Sam and his dad, Eric, came over, and they've been following the team, the guys, and everything over the internet, loving ice fishing. How old were you when you started ice fishing?
I started ice fishing when I was, like, by myself, ice fishing, probably 4.
Yeah?
Jigging by myself, yeah.
So, you know, no more dad holding the rod for you. You were on it.
Yeah, no more watching tip-offs, no more dad jigging for me and me reeling in the fish, just me jigging and catching
the
fish.
That's awesome. Now, you guys, how far do you got to go from home to fish?
Oh, we fish right off our doorstep, maybe 5 minutes away from our house, and we got spots to fish.
That's awesome. That's awesome. On any given week during the winter, how many days do you get to go?
Ooh, definitely 5 out of the 7 days of the week.
Now, that's dedication to fishing. I love to hear that. And for all of you guys at home that have younger fishermen that are ready to go, Sam is proof that, you know, the kids are going to get into it. We were upstairs and rigging some equipment for tomorrow. We're tying it. Sam jumped right up to the table. Well, we had to tell him get his butt up to the table and tie with the guys. We've got world medalists like Chad Schaub up there doing it, and a couple other guys that are tournament fishermen working and tying stuff, and Sam's staring him down watching the stuff, and he's tying his stuff, and he's doing a great job, and it's a great mentorship. Now, you got out and fished with us a little bit this afternoon when we got over to our lake where we're going to play tomorrow. We're not telling it, but we were out playing on some small fish, and you got on your palm rod. Now, you're using Akara rods, right?
Yep, I'm using Akara rods.
What line were you using?
I was using 0.97 millimeter in diameter. I pay attention to the diameter more than I do the actual pound test that I use.
So. Now, that's a big thing for you guys listening that, you know, when we're on our spring bobbers or tight lining or something with our spinning reels and stuff like that, we're all talking pounds. But when we're talking palm rods, it's the diameter, because that's going to talk to us about the flexibility more than the test of the line, but the flexibility of the line and how fast you can get down the hole, because this is a hand lining sport and you're going to bring it up. Now, you caught a couple of fair ones today, didn't you?
Yeah, I caught a couple decent bluegills and decent crappie. When you're fishing for more, like the race to 25, you not necessarily wanting those bigger fish, just pulling up those small ones, being consistent and having that good pace.
Having a good pace, good technique, knowing how to handle the line so you don't, as Anthony calls it, wazzle up. And make yourself a mess where you have to change the rods. Because in competition, you don't have time to straighten out a mess. You just throw that in the bag, grab the next rod, and you go.
Yeah, I carry about 15 palm rods on me at all times in my bag that I have. Just so if I do mess up, that I have backup rods that I can just grab one and I'm back fishing.
I tell you, I was having fun out there today, and I didn't wazzle, so I stayed on my first rod all day. And I was playing. I thought I wazzled at one point, and I just had lost sight of the line when the light changed on us a little bit. But I caught a nice little 9-inch gill on it today. So those guys out there that believe that it's only the small fish that we get with those palm rods, they don't understand the delicacy that we have and the control that we have with that little tiny spring bobber.
Oh, yeah. You can, I mean, the fish just nudges that little spring bobber in. You know they're there. You set the hook. If you miss them, you can drop them back down and wait till they smash it.
Yeah, it's instants. We're not talking seconds. It's instants that you're working through this. It's so great. Now, tomorrow, you're going to play with all the big boys, right?
Yep, all the big boys going to the same zone.
That's going to be awesome, because we're going to play the games. The first to 25, we're going to do the most fish in an hour, where we're going to do a catch and release program. Mm-hmm. Where you show the fish to one of the judges, they're going to put a tally mark down on it. It is an awesome experience to get out there and do that. Now, anybody out there that's listening, it's a young fisherman, if you're interested in getting involved in this kind of stuff, you know, on our website, miiceguys.com, we have this little special section called Ask an MIIceGuy. And you can ask us any question. That goes out to 4 or 5 of us. We'll answer your questions as much as possible about that stuff. Now, you were mentioning earlier that you watch a lot of the YouTube video. You and your dad, you put them up on the TV and
oh yeah,
and watch them pretty intently. I heard your dad reciting some of Anthony's phrases, which I'm not sure I would always use as gospel, but it was very interesting to hear that, you know, the following that you guys have, and you're over in Wisconsin, so you get, I would think over there in Stevens Point, you get a hair longer season than we do around Grand Rapids here.
Yeah, yep.
How long, well, here it is, we're at the end of the year, it's the 29th of December. How long have you guys had walkable ice?
Had walkable ice. We probably have walkable ice now for a month, I'd say.
About a month. Yep. So early January, you got it. Or early December, sorry. Mm-hmm. You got it. So you guys are a little bit ahead of us on that, just a little bit north of us. That is just such a great experience. Well, hey, Sam, I'm going to wish you the greatest of luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
And hopefully tomorrow we'll record another session about how you did and how it went and maybe what you learned. We're the MI Ice Guys, and bringing you hard water fishing from the Great Lakes State. Walk to your hole and be safe.
Hey, guys. You got a picture of your good catch? Maybe that big whopper crappie barely fit through the hole? Whatever it is, everybody loves seeing a good ice fishing picture. So feel free to upload those to the MI Ice Guys Facebook page. You can find us facebook.com/MIIceGuys. Hoping to see you some big ones.
Hey guys, we had just an awesome time up there over the New Year's break, fishing with Chad and Staff Myron, Sam, his dad Eric, other buddies Chris, and everybody. We're going to hear from Chris right now in his preparation for getting ready for it. Let's listen to Chris.
Hey guys, it's Chaz from the My Ice Guys. Hey, we're another little segment here from Ice Camp. We're in Steph's basement. We just had a wonderful meal of some crappie that he did with some fries and everything. And one of the guys that came out last year and played the Rage in the Cage with us and fishes around this area all the time is Chris Jennifer. He lives Stanwood, right?
Stanwood, Michigan.
Yeah. And now let me ask you the core question. What got you ice fishing in the place?
I didn't ice fish much as a kid, so I kind of picked it up. Me and Chad went to school together, so he kind of got us into the tournament scene, and I started ice fishing a little heavier.
Yeah, so you're like me, and all of a sudden, you know, Chad and Steph are coming home with new toys, and they're like, whoa, I got to have some of those new toys.
Yeah, they get new toys, and I try to outdo them a little bit and get the newest, best thing and try to outdo them.
Now, what do you do for a day job?
I work construction, build bridges for the state of Michigan.
It was really cool. The other day, we were out, and Chad took us steelhead fishing on the Grand River, downtown Grand Rapids, and he's talking to somebody on the phone, and I'm like, who the hell are you talking to? He says, it's Chris. Where the hell's Chris? He's up by the bridge. What the hell is he doing up there? Working. Well, we tool up, and we pop over the coffer dams, and we run up there to grab some steelhead, and he's waving his arm and pointing and stuff. He's over there in his freaking yellow hard hat. He was driving the boom lift that day.
Yep, I had the Skytrak transporting cement down and forth because we didn't have any other way to do it.
So he's backing this rig down. When they're unloading and stuff, he's jumping off checking how we're doing fishing. And it was really pretty cool to have a spy on shore watching what everybody else was doing. And it got us into some fish. But, you know, honestly, I was the 3-for-4 guy that day.
Well, I seen your good hook and miss.
Yeah, well, I had a good hook and miss. And that little silk curtain you guys had there, that makes a really nice corral agent for the fish.
It seemed like the steelhead were hanging right there, and there's a little bit of slack water. We have a cofferdam built out of rock all halfway out in the Grand River. So it seemed like that slack water was just holding the fish there. I don't know why. I don't know for what reason, but...
Hey, it worked for us, and thanks for the tip on that. Now, you're going to play with us like you did last year out and do some fishing at the Rage in the Cage, where we're going to play with the palm rods, hand augers, all that stuff. And you got out there last year and got in the groove. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I messed up for one heat, fought a bass for half of it instead of just breaking it off. But, you know, it was all about pride at that point with a bass. You know, you would have beat everybody with weight.
Yeah.
But I did the tryouts. I made the team as a spotter, and didn't end up going. But
well, one of these years, you're going to have to travel with us because the overseas game is a lot of fun. And I hope that you're coming back this year for tryouts again.
I want to, but it's the same weekend as Manolman.
Oh yeah, the tournament conflict.
Chad and Myron are both trying to talk me into coming, So
I have the same kind of problem. Mine is the Winter Beer Fest in Grand Rapids. I have to work that bit stuff. But so tomorrow we're going to get out there. It's going to be a little crisp. I think they're calling for like a high of 12.
Yeah.
So we're going to wear our gear out there tomorrow. We're going to get out and we're going to fish it hard. And one of the things that I saw that the guys were kind of evolving into last year was different techniques, you know, keeping your hands dry, keeping your hands warm while you're dealing with the super delicate equipment of the palm rod. You got a strategy on that?
I don't think the palm rod itself is that delicate. It's very simple.
I don't know. I broke one today.
Well, yeah, you can do it, but it's mainly the line that you're trying to. We're using real thin diameter line with it doesn't matter what jig you got on it here, but overseas it does. And I think it's just about finesse.
It's finesse.
And I'm not a very good finesse guy.
Well, you know, driving a Skytrak delivering concrete does not train you to that. But
I'm a construction guy, so they always say my hook sets are abnormally too much. And I salmon fish all summer, so.
Lip ripper.
Yeah. Well, we don't slow down our troll to catch our fish.
No, I wouldn't either. It's great. Now, you got a couple of buddies coming out tomorrow, too? Some of the little guys from last year?
There's a few guys coming out. I think Jake Schellenberger's coming out.
Oh, good. I like Jake.
I think Zach's coming back. So we should have a good competition crew for the USA guys to practice against.
Yeah, Anthony was telling us earlier while we were having our dinner that we're looking at probably maybe up to 20 guys tomorrow. That's going to be really cool out on the ice.
It's really cool to see all, you know, like Sam and Eric, they came from Wisconsin, and Nate.
Yeah,
and
Nate came over from Wisconsin as well, so... Yeah. It's going to be a really good crew out there tomorrow. I know that I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be officiating a bit tomorrow, but I'm also going to try and shoot some video because I know that a lot of the guys that watch our site and listen to our podcast really appreciate to put some faces to it and like see some action and stuff. So I think Anthony are going to be doing a little trade-off between him and I of who gets the video and who gets to fish and who gets to... do a little of the officiating with the guys and stuff. But I think it's going to be a huge thing. We're going to play some shallow water. We were over there today, and I'll tell you.
I was over there yesterday.
When we hit shallow water, it is going to be how fast can you put them up.
Yep.
That is it. But then we're going to take you over to some little tougher spots
and make
you work the finesse bite a little bit.
I don't know, Chad. They weren't tough yesterday in them deeper spots. They were pretty.
Oh, no, I got a dry hole.
You got a dry hole?
I got a dry hole. We're just going to make you work for it a little bit.
They were a little bit spotty, but I don't know. It was the fifth hole I drilled or whatever yesterday. We were trying to figure out our zones, and I couldn't get the jig fast enough to them. Four foot off bottom. So.
And then, you know, we're going to play a little deep water. Last year we ran into a deep water situation. We went out to like almost 30 feet. I think it was 26, 28 feet.
Yeah, that hole on that lake runs from 18 to almost 30. I believe,
and there we were, and then all of a sudden we find the fish 7 feet under the ice.
We're a little early for that this year.
Yeah, we're early for that. So. But one of the things that I want to stress to our listeners is that we don't have electronics to tell us that they were only 7 feet down. So one of the points that we were teaching a couple of the guys today as we were working it is that you jig down, and you're working the whole water column down until you find fish. And you'll find the suspended fish that way. So for those of you that don't have electronics out there and you're still trying to play that suspended fish game, you work it down through the column. And as you work it down through the column, you're going to find the fish and start reacting with it. So, you know, you don't absolutely have the electronics need, but, man, is it a lot easier. But when we're playing world games and we're playing with the palm rods, under those strict rules, you got to have your technique down.
Yeah, technique's a big thing, and we work on it all here all year because usually we're fishing deep water fish here in Michigan.
I mean, yeah, we do.
Just typically a basin fishing.
Here in West Michigan, we've got a lot of the Kettle Lakes, so
yeah,
they're deeper, and the fish adapt to that.
Between the NAFC, though, we go out and fish all these good lakes out west. Just say west because they're all west of us. At least 12 hours usually, and it seems like Wisconsin fish, Minnesota fish, they're keying on those weeds.
Yeah, shallow stuff.
And we come back home and we're fishing, like we fished whitefish yesterday morning.
Yep.
30 foot of water.
Oh, you were past Rocky Shoal. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know where you were. You're in the basin.
We were in the basin. I pulled some nice crappies out. I think I took 15 keepers out of one hole. They were pretty slow, but we all had fun. And,
yeah,
you know, it's just too deep to get – too cold to get the palm rods out yesterday. Yeah. I like palm rodding on that lake with big fish.
Well, so. I'll tell you, I've learned over the years that one of the very key factors out there is line management. Now, even today when we were on our first lake this morning, you know, we were fishing a bit deeper. I was fishing 20 feet of water. And, I mean, it was 7 degrees.
Yeah.
So, icing up. That was a thing to worry about. When we got to the palm rods, all of a sudden, now you're hand lining up because you don't reel a palm rod.
Right.
And now you have to keep all that line straight and untangled.
And out of the frozen ice from when you augered your hole, I mean, there's frozen chunks everywhere.
Snags everywhere.
Because the line instantly freezes in that kind of air.
So line management is a huge, huge deal. I know that watching last year, and I'll see it again tomorrow, some of the guys are getting that tangle up, and it's costing them time.
That's what I'm hoping
for.
It's
a game.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, somebody else snaggles? You've been practicing?
I've even since tryouts, you know, everybody at tryouts had 15 to 20 rods, and they were fixing 10 of them at break time because we get a 30-minute or hour heat between.
Yep.
So, I mean, I was confident in myself. I thought I did pretty well, even though I only made it as a spotter. I was right behind Myron all day, and score-wise.
I'll tell you, that's not a bad place to be, is right behind Myron. I follow him to a lot of fishing holes myself.
But I think I only wadded up 2 rods of tryouts.
Well, that's very good. Line management is huge, especially the lighter the line it is. I mean, the harder it is to see. For those of you guys that are over 40, that's a big concern.
You're getting one of them magnifying glasses like Myron's got.
Oh, Steph's are up on the table. I was watching them.
Myron's got one with a light on it.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually using that championship to tie jigs.
Well, that's why we call him Captain now.
Yeah, Captain.
Oh, look, right over there on the gun safe's another pair of Steph's. But anyway, guys, hey, we're the MI Ice guys. Chaz here with my good friend Chris, and we're getting ready to play palms tomorrow. We're going to have a whole weekend of fishing. We're going to get out and have some fun after that. Maybe catch some more to put through the fryer.
And if you want to try out palm rodding, there's going to be a few shops here in Central Michigan that have the Akara palm rods. I ordered just a few of them. See how it does.
Anybody that can't find one, use on our website on miiceguys.com, the Ask a MI Ice Guy question form. You just fill that out, and it'll pop off to the guys. We'll be more than happy to guide you in the right direction, and you know, probably even invite you along on a day when we're going out fishing. So we're the MI Ice Guys. Stay safe out there on the ice. Keep your feet under you. Don't fall down. Don't get wet. We'll be right back with another segment. Hey, guys. Chaz here from the MI Ice Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E stopper lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff. Hey guys, we're the MI Ice Guys. We're still live up here at Ice Camp at Steph's house. We're upstairs, so we're not in the basement. Steph's getting some chicken ready to throw in. We had a kind of a hard bite today. Chad's on the microphone. Chad, what were you just watching on Facebook?
Pretty sure it's, I think there are a couple of Russians. No, it says ice. They're sledgehammering ice beside each other. See who goes through first. They're taking turns whacking.
Okay.
Nobody's went through yet, so I'm still
We're still not going to advise that as a proper method of putting holes in the ice to go fishing.
Well, they're not trying to put holes in the ice to go fishing. They're trying to put a hole so the other guy goes through.
All right. We're still not going to advise that in the show. Hey, we've been up here for a few days fishing, scouting. We did some practice with the world team guys and some guys that came out to help put a little pressure on Chad and Anthony as they're preparing to fish for the USA. And we've been having a pretty good time. Now, yesterday we got into some fish, didn't we, Chad?
Yeah, we had a real good bite going yesterday on one of the lakes we made it out to.
Yeah, we snuck out to a couple of lakes yesterday. We started over on Croton, and then we went to one of our secret locations.
Yeah, just a little lake in the woods, and the fish were a little more active. Not very many crappie, which we usually do pretty good on those, but the bluegill were nice, so it was a good time.
Now, for those of you that follow me on Facebook, you probably saw that we had a big sink full, actually two sinks full of fish to clean. Well, Chad and Steph and I, and Steph's cousin Mitch, we all just jumped right in and cleaned those fillets up. And for all five of us that were out fishing, we all got limits, so that was a real good day out there.
Yeah, my dad didn't take his home, so we had to clean those too.
Well, we
lazy
know.
Old guy.
Lazy old guy. But anyway, we've been having a good time. Today we went out, we hit a few more lakes, and it was a tougher bite today. The sun was out, but it was a little colder, and the wind was really up.
Yeah, I think it was just the wind. Had a little pressure front coming through. Probably should have just went to where we got him yesterday, or stayed on the first lake we went to, but... You know, you never know unless you try. It's fun to try new lakes.
Yeah, we bopped all the way out to Six Lakes and hit First Lake there right after we stopped at Sadler's Great Outdoors. And on the 13th of January, if you guys want to come on out, we're going to have a little seminar out there and have some deals. Especially, I know Scandia is going to have their buy three, get one free on the tungsten jigs. So you plan on coming out and joining us out there. Now, First Lake was really, really tough for us. We got some dinks out there. But
yeah, they were biting, but they just no size. So
yeah.
Move on.
So we ran around. We went down to Hilltop and picked up some stuff that the guys needed for their upcoming trip. Now, you guys are leaving. Well, you're leaving tomorrow morning, and then I'm dropping Steph off to the train on Friday to head out to Metegoshi, right?
That sounds like the plan. Steph's packing right now in between cooking. And then I'll be loading up here. Well, as soon as we get done with this, I'll be loading up to head home to pack my stuff.
One of the great things about Steph's ice camp and hunting camp is that we have Iron Steph, and he's always coming up with something to feed us. So we don't go... If you've seen the pictures of us, none of us are really thin. So one of the things that we got out there and found out today, especially on that third lake we hit, it was really kind of finicky on the bite. That was probably the toughest one we were on.
Yeah, the last lake we went to, I mean, it's known for being a little tougher, and it has some good fish in it, but it was a little slow with the wind. More or less, the little fish were biting, and a few big fish come up and look at it and occasionally would bite.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing. Now, we were all fishing on spikes today. Not quite plastic season. We haven't got the frenzy going on those yet, but we're looking forward to that. Hopefully that'll be coming along soon. Now, Chad, if you got to give them any first ice advice, what's your first ice now that we've pretty much got some walkable ice all around the West Michigan area?
Yeah, we got solid ice right now. We still want to check. For some reason, this big cold front and the wind, the fish aren't schooling up the way they normally are this time of year. So they're a little closer to the bottom and a little bit shallower than normal, it seems like. So you got to fish just off of what you were probably normally fishing the schools, you know, and just look for that flicker on the bottom and slow your presentation down just a little bit. They're not the cold front just has them a little slowed down right now.
And if you're in doubt, drill a lot of holes. I know today we had the auger going. Chad's DeWalt was out there banging away, and we'd start out every spot with 30-40 holes just so that we could all go around and check and find those real simple flickers on the bottom that Chad was talking about.
Yeah, we're just covering some water and looking for the fish. Yesterday was the most aggressive. The last couple hours of the day, they were up and moving pretty steadily, and you know, almost every hole had fish off the bottom, and they were coming up and eating good, but that's one of the better bites we've had. So
yeah, I was getting pretty excited. I was getting into some big fish, and then Steph reminded me, hey, we really should count. And so we did a little summary there and figured out, oh, we're like one fish away. So we finished up quickly, headed back over here to Steph's place, cleaned them all, and had a big fish fry last night. And we'll see if we can get Steph to confess his beer batter recipe, because that was some pretty tasty stuff we had.
It was a nice meal of fish. You know, my wife and Mitch's girlfriend came over, my daughter, enjoyed some fish with us.
Yeah, it's a great time to have family, and Steph just popped out the fry daddy, so it was real quick and easy on it. He had a big thing of fries, and I think everybody got their fill, except maybe your...
Yeah, she even ate a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we're the MI Ice Guys coming to you from Ice Camp, and we're going to be right back with a little more. Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hey guys, live from Ice Camp 2018 now, we're doing a crossover. Came up and decided to spend the New Year's at Steph's place. We've been doing a lot of fishing.
A little catching.
Yeah, well, yesterday we did a lot of catching.
A lot of catching yesterday, and then today, that front moving in, and high winds.
Yeah, it was. It made it a bugger. I caught a few good.
Yeah, usually out in front of a storm front coming through or a front coming through, usually turns them on, but today it had them real finicky.
And the more the wind built in the afternoon, the more it seemed to push. We were hearing that from several guys.
Yeah.
Popped three different lakes. And
should have stayed at Lake 1.
Should have stayed at Lake 1 by the results. Yeah, at least that's where I got the couple of big crappie.
Yeah.
Pretty pleased about that. Hey, it's been great being up here. We had Uncle Myron come up here. We had our buddy Nate Winters come over from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Eric and his son Sam came over from Stevens Point, Wisconsin area. Sam has got a big, deep desire to join the USA Ice team, but he ain't 18 yet. 14 years old, and he was giving the boys a run for their money out on the ice. So it just goes to show you that skills, when they hit somebody natural, they hit. It was really cool to watch Sam learn from the guys and get with it. His dad wasn't really feeling up to the weather, so we kind of took him under our wing out there. Uncle Myron was paying careful attention to give him some good fine coaching.
The guys helped him with rigging and line management, and he picked it up real quick and did a fantastic job.
Yeah, the night before our challenge, we all sat around Steph's dining room table here rigging some equipment. You guys probably have heard the segments we were recording down in the basement while the guys were upstairs here tying. We just had a wonderful time. Now, for those of you guys that didn't get the gist of the Rage in the Cage, Anthony, our good friend from Cedar Springs and a fellow USA team member, he came up with this idea last year that we should go out and run a world-style palm challenge. The guys, Anthony and Chad, they went out and picked out a lake.
Yep.
And we, fortunately, a lake thick enough that last year and this year, we were able to take the quads out because it's a pretty big body of water. Run everybody around. We hooked the trailer on behind Steph's, haul everybody around so nobody's waiting to walk or anything like that. And we use some pickle buckets. And
mark the zones.
Mark the zone off. And Steph and I kind of do a lot of the officiating. This year, I was able to break up a little bit because we had the Bodeckers join us.
Yep. Jan and Dave. Mike helped Mike. Out.
Yeah, Dave didn't come out. That's Bo's brother. And then Captain Myron, he was kind of leading, playing masters of ceremonies on the situation. He's also going to be our team captain for USA Ice this year. So it was really great to see him stepping more into the mentoring role, conveying out those years of knowledge to the guys and kind of giving a watch and an overview. It's a perspective that I don't think he's gotten that much before because he's always been an angler.
Yeah.
I think 8 years he competed in the worlds.
Yep.
And that's unheard of. I think our only other team member that's gone that long is
Schaub.
Well, Schaub hasn't been 8 years. He's 5 or 6 now.
6 or 7.
Yeah. And then our former team captain, Mike McNutt, did 9 years. 1 year, I believe, as a competitor, and then he moved on to captain. And it's been quite a run for us on USA Ice. Those of you that believe that the palm rod is only for little dinky fish and rebs us about it quite often because he sells a lot.
Yep.
But we proved this weekend, Chad probably pulled a 12-inch perch.
Yeah,
on
nice
one
roll,
of his
nice perch.
Very first fish.
Like 10, 11-inch crappies were caught on the palm rods.
Yeah, and it's really just a real delicate sport. Now, of course, there were a couple that probably got a pike or a bass on and snapped them off immediately. So we don't really recommend, you know, pike fishing with palm rod. But it is an effective way when the bite is very, very subtle. The guys were tying. Now, Chad did confess that he didn't land that perch on his light. I think he was all the way up to 0.8 when he landed the perch.
0.08.
Yeah. the 067 is what he was breaking off with.
Yeah.
So that was quite an adventure. Now, we also got into a couple of our favorite little lakes. We went out and fished deep out at Croton yesterday.
Yeah, about 34 feet of water.
Yeah, and I mean, they were down. They were hugging the bottom. Somebody said that the water was moving. They were dumping some water out.
Spillways. Yeah, spillways are open.
So that had them hunkered down to the bottom, and they were biting bare. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you had to use such a small jig to get them to bite.
Yeah, you could stay and get a limit, but getting up and down that depth of water with that small a jig was...
It was a challenge.
Oh, yeah. And then the wind kicked up.
Yeah, when that wind kicked up, we decided it was time to go to... And so we went over to one of our top secret training that it's out in the middle of a field, so nobody really even knows how to get to it. So I think our secret's safe. Nobody can even ID it from the pictures unless you've been... But we've just had such a wonderful time up here fishing, pretty much 5 days straight. It's ice camp. And if you and your buddies get a chance to do something similar, well, we found it just the best way in the world to spend the New Year's holiday. A lot of guys get the time off to get to come over. We had the two crews come over from Wisconsin. Hopefully, maybe even next year, we'll get even some more guys from out of state. And even some of the in-state guys traveled quite a distance. I know the Bodeckers and Keith Niffen came up from the Lansing area.
Uncle Myron stayed the night.
Yeah, Uncle Myron comes all the way from Brooklyn, Michigan, which is down by the MIS racetrack, I believe. And he came up, spent the night with us, and got out early. But he had to get back for some family stuff. So he didn't get to go out for the slaying of the bluegill and crappie that we put on him yesterday.
We didn't need to clean another 25.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we had five guys out there. So five guys limits. Do the math. That is 250 fillets. And Chad and Steph and I just jumped right up there and got the knives going. Cleaned them all up. And then Steph made a fish fry. Now, Steph, let's just walk them through. I know we've published some variations of your beer batter out online, but just break it down for the guys.
That one was pretty simple. I'd used about a cup of all-purpose flour and about a quarter cup of cornmeal, and I added some garlic salt to that and a little Treasure Chest ESB beer and whipped that up into a nice smooth batter. So where it's just clinging to the... I don't make a real heavy batter because I like it a little bit thinner, just so kind it's not of a real bready filet.
A slow drip off, but but not globs coming.
Exactly.
And you just... slosh the fillets around in there, make sure they're individually good and wetted down.
You don't want it as thick as pancake batter.
No.
That's what you're trying to avoid. You want to get it a little thinner, just add a little more beer and thin it up. Get that right consistency, and you get a nice coat on it.
And you got the peanut oil going in the fry daddy there. And just one of the real tricks I think some people mess up on, they don't individually lower the fillets into the oil.
Yeah, you got to put them in slow one at a time. Let that first one float back up to the top. You put the next one in, and that... helps keep them from sticking together.
Yeah, and otherwise people get a big wad of fish and uncooked doughiness to it, and that's not very appealing. Now, at the same time, you were able, you know, as soon as you got fish out, you picked the chunks out and put some fries in.
Yeah, you take a little skimmer in there, skim up any little chunks, and then I put in a load of fries and, you know, do a few loads of fish, then switch over to fries, and then get that on the table and let people start eating.
Yeah, well, we had about...
the girls chowing down first.
We had about 10 of us here eating last night, and there's still a big bowl of cold fish in the refrigerator. Now, we were also making some commentary about those cold fish. Now, Chad said that his favorite way is just take a couple slices of bread and a slice of cheese with that fish and just mush it down and make a sandwich.
Make a fish sandwich.
I'm a little more into, I put a little bit of mayo down, maybe a little horseradish if I got it, and then the fillets. And the bread. And Chad and I don't heat them up. Just eat them cold. They're really cold. Great.
Yeah, like lunch meat.
Yeah. And so, you know, don't be afraid to fry a few extra fish. If you've got the oil hot, go ahead and process them up, get them ready to go, because they make good snacks and lunches.
Yeah, Chad got some out when we got home here, and he took them and lined them up with some wasabi on them and was chowing down on them.
Yeah, if you guys haven't tried that little tube wasabi, I believe you can get it at most Meijer stores. It's got some bang to it, I'll tell you.
Oh, she's got kick.
I tried one of those last night as well. It was it take your breath away if you get a little too much on there.
I might do that now to clear my sinuses.
Yeah, after the podcast, I might need a little snack before I hit the road. But guys, we're the MI Ice guys, and just giving you a couple of reports from Ice Camp. We're going to be right back, but remember, be safe on the ice. Always take your best buddy out fishing with you, because at least they can collaborate this story.
And post your ice report.
Hey guys, we've had just an awesome time up at camp, and I'm glad to be able to record some of the guys' interviews fresh right up there while it was in our minds. I'm back in the studio, got to do a little beer work, but I have another episode coming up I'm going to try and release out yet this week with a little preview to the tournament schedule that Chad and Steph are taking off on. So be safe, take a buddy fishing with you, because you need somebody to back those stories up. Be safe, drink beer, fish hard.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys, and enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.